Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic of our podcast today is Town Bully, the death of Ken McElroy. What do you think about that, Colonel?
I think he was a douchebag, Timmy. He had it coming.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about all of his dastardly deeds. But before we do, let me remind everyone that we are a true crime comedy podcast. We use adult language. And
goddamn right we do. Don't like it, you can go diddle yourself straight out the goddamn door.
Diddle your ass
right out the goddamn door.
Well, or you could check out some of the other fine podcasts. Or,
no, you know what? You could go fuck yourself. That's what you can do. There ain't no other fine podcasts out there. This is the only podcast in the podcast universe. What about our listeners putting up their, what other podcasts do you listen to? You unloyal, ungrateful bastards.
This is on our Facebook page.
Talking about recommending other sons of bitches. I should have booted everyone on to me.
So if you find if you're offended by adult language, you may want to not tune in.
They've already tuned out.
Yeah, they probably already left. Let me introduce my marvelous panel. To my left is the very lovely and talented, a lady who is known as Brandy the Benevolent, the very sweet and beautiful Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm all right, Timmy. How are you doing?
I am well.
Good.
Back from my vacation.
I know. You almost looked tan. It was almost like you went outside.
I did go out, Well, you know, I try to not go out for long periods of time.
Well, sure.
I don't want to get the skin cancer.
Right, right.
But I had a wonderful time. I went to Europe and spent some time in Amsterdam, Berlin, and Paris, where I spent a few days seeing the city with the lovely Leanne.
I didn't ask him about his vacation. Did you ask him about his vacation?
I didn't ask him.
No, he's just going to rattle on like it's Timmy time.
People are curious. They want to know about my life.
People want to know more about Timmy.
Yes. I blew up three hotels while I was there.
You did. You did, which is amazing.
Electrical ISIS over here.
Yeah, dumbass.
You know, my electric, charging my phone should not be able to bring, I should not be able to bring down a hotel by charging my phone.
But you did.
I brought down three of them.
Yeah, but you did, so.
You know, Europe has serious problems, Chuck. If they can't handle me, how are they going to handle Putin?
Exactly.
Al-Qaeda.
They can't handle the truth over there, Timmy.
Well, you know,
it's like goddamn socialism.
I don't think Chuck would like. There's a lot of foreigners over there, I noticed.
Well, I mean, he can't handle Canada.
No, goddamn. No, it's a goddamn socialism, Timmy. You have socialist electricity. Everybody knows that ain't going to work. It works when it wants to.
Commie electricity.
Yeah, commie.
Pinko.
Yeah, pinko electricity.
Jake graduated, so I'm very excited about that.
Congratulations, Jake.
How do we
That's
get
awesome.
On Brandy time?
It's officially Brandy time.
Yeah.
I kind of imposed on Brandy time.
Timmy time, like, kind of took over. It's my turn.
Well, that was nice. Thank you, Devil.
Because Jake graduated, and that's a big fucking deal.
Congratulations,
Jake. So now we're going to have a graduation party that you won't come to, but you better be at, Charles.
But I will send my warm wishes.
He can't eat your warm wishes. He's gonna need supplies to get the fuck out of the house.
I'll send cookies.
Whatever. You will not send cookies.
Whose phone is that, Brandy?
It's goddamn Chuck's phone because Chuck doesn't know how to turn it on fucking mute. for fuck's sake.
When did you tell him last, when did you last instruct him to do that, Brandy?
Two seconds before we went on the air.
So apparently he cannot follow directions.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Let's talk about his attire. I don't want to interrupt.
Oh, here we go.
I don't want to interrupt Brandy time. Do you have any other important news? You're switching houses or something?
We are. We're moving. We signed the lease yesterday because I don't ever want to own a home again. So yeah, we signed a lease, and we'll be moving next month. And so we're very excited about that. And Chuck and I did a podcast while you were gone.
We did.
It was well received by some people. We will be expecting our award for that.
You know, the reviews I saw were not that complimentary.
You know, we do not know that was the episode they were referring to.
Well, they said I wasn't there, and I've only not been in two of them. So.
And the other thing is, I mean, really, what's his name?
Yeah, what's his name?
So, yeah, I mean, thank clearly you. You're yeah. not a vain.
Clearly, yeah. you're not a linchpin in this entire organization.
I would rather be called what's his name. You know what? I would prefer what's his name over Levain.
Levain, yeah. Levain. I got you, Vane. I slap you
why
in
are
the
you,
goddamn
why are
forehead
you getting excited?
Vane.
Simmer down over there.
Well, she kinda,
we did a spectacular podcast.
He took a shot at the colonel, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
Levain did?
Yeah. Except because you told children not to read or something.
That's something. Well, children don't need to read. Goddamn. We put too much pressure on kids nowadays.
So Chuck is wearing his alternative lifestyle garments today.
He has a pink shirt on. It looks amazing, Colonel.
Thank you, Timmy.
Are you feeling pretty?
I feel good about it.
I feel good. You should wear a different bra with that shirt, though.
Okay, let me introduce the Colonel since we were talking about him.
Yeah.
He's a man who is known throughout the land as a man who is the oasis in the desert of despair.
He is not.
A man who is the moral compass of podcasting today.
Is not.
All podcasting. Not just this show, but all podcasting.
All podcasting. The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Now you're a Waters.
Let me tell you what. You are well known in Europe. There were people coming up to me in every place I went wanting to know about the Colonel.
No, they weren't.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Oh,
yeah.
They were not.
And you know what?
Big in Czechoslovakia.
At CrimeCon, nary a person asked me about the Colonel.
Oh, people ask over there, Colonel. In Germany and France.
Yeah, I'm big in Japan too, Timmy.
Where everyone's
I'm big in China.
You and David Hasselhoff are big in Germany.
I'm going to do one of those swimsuit pictures for me in a pair of Speedos, tight Speedos. My hair all curled up with the Jerry
curl.
You're
going to do Are you going to be like Beach Patrol or something?
I'm going to remake Beach.
Fuck. What was the name of that show?
Baywatch,
yeah. You need to be out there, Colonel, on the beach.
What was a toss-up between him and The Rock? Because,
you know, there's a lot of crime going on the beach.
Oh, yeah, goddamn right. You know, Timmy, and I don't want to, you know.
Hog the show.
Boast. You know, I do a different podcast, too, and someone referred to me, Timmy, as the Yoda of podcasting.
Short and green. Walks with a cane, talks Yoda. Ridiculous.
Well, we can add that to your title if you
the
like.
Yoda, yeah.
The Yoda of podcasting.
Yeah, I'm a podcasting Jedi.
Those weird ears. I mean, this is what we're going to do. I can go on all day. Love me some Yoda, but we can go on all day.
I think they were referring to my Jedi skills.
I think they were referring to the fact that you're a Muppet.
Well,
and we'll
Yoda
just say
like
whatever the
wise,
fuck I tell you to.
Wasn't he a wise sage?
He was a wise sage.
Have you
sage.
Not watched goddamn Star
a long
Star
time
Wars?
Ago, like 1977 or something.
Who are you, devil?
Whatever, go back to the swamp where you came from.
Oh, well, it's good to be back with you guys. So we can get into this podcast thing. Yeah. But before we
could
do,
we?
Brandy, you and I are going to be at Podrin Love in New Orleans
in August.
You don't know the
it's
date,
the
so.
First weekend in August.
Yes,
it's
we're
like
gonna
the
be
7th, 8th, and 9th or something along
and
those lines.
We would invite all of you who are listening to join us. We're going to try to do a live show, I think, maybe.
Uh-huh. We talked about it.
Okay. So join us down there.
Haunted Visions is going to, too.
Yes.
And we got
The Colonel's not going to be DweebCon. There.
DweebCon. That's right. We set a date for DweebCon.
October 5th.
October 5th here in Cincinnati, where dweebs from all over the world, Brandy, will be coming in to join us in fun and merriment.
Fun and merriment.
And merriment. You can't skip the merriment.
And hopefully the Colonel will wear his alternative lifestyle shirt.
I'm sure
he'll be wearing a tank top if the weather provides.
He's got several.
So, yeah. Join our Facebook group, History Dweebs, the podcast, to learn more about DweebCon. It's coming up in October. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Brandy will probably drink and cuss and those sorts of things.
Yeah. Hope so.
Throw up in a garbage can.
Let's talk about Ken McElroy, Brandy.
Well, okay.
He's a bully. He's a prick, kind of.
Oh, well, this guy was a douche.
Was he, now, a, Colonel, was he a cattle wrestler?
Wait a minute. I forgot to ask the Colonel. I understand you've got a new hobby.
I do have a new hobby, Timmy. I am starting to write children's books.
You are.
Yeah. And so it's going to be important because if children are going to be reading, this is the problem with children reading. Mm-hmm. You give them dumbass stuff to read. Mm-hmm. If you get stuff that catches their interest that they can relate to.
Yeah.
So you're saying children can relate to you because you're on their level.
They'll read it.
That's what you're saying.
I'm starting it with a trilogy, Timmy.
Okay, what's you said this is sort of in the spirit of Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss. Okay. We're going with, because Horton was a very popular guy.
Right.
So I'm going to do a trilogy on Horton.
Okay.
Don't know that you could do that.
It's going to be Horton Hires a Hoe. That's the first part.
That's teaching kids how to procure
commerce.
Sex. Yeah.
That's really the prequel, though.
Horton hires
the prequel.
Yeah, the prequel. The
this is like Harry Potter.
Did you catch his fucking speech impediment?
This is like Harry Potter here.
The first book really is Horton chokes a hoe.
Ah,
but the prequel is Horton hires a hoe.
Yeah, you have to hire before you can choke.
Yeah, and then we're going to end it up with Horton shakes bars.
I see.
Shaking bars is a term for being in jail.
Yeah,
devil.
I got it.
I know you would get that.
Thank
but,
you.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really.
Oh, so it sounds like you've got a great future ahead of you there as a children's author.
Yeah, I'm finished with the first two. Right in when Horton's thinking about either ganging up with some other guys or being somebody's bitch.
Okay, so we're going to follow Horton from his from the time he buys a hot prostitute to the time he chokes her, ends up in prison.
Yeah, he doesn't kill her.
Can we talk about this douche canoe now instead of
any
talking?
Other
can we talk about the douche canoe instead of to the douche canoe? Can we do that?
Okay. Oh, all of a sudden she's the professional in here now.
Jeez.
All right, let's talk about Ken McElroy. I'm sure the Colonel will add, continue.
What do you think about Who Shat in the Hat?
That sounds
like
a good
book. I think I know the answer.
Who Shat in the Hat?
Yeah,
Who
Shat
like
in the
Dr.
Hat?
Sounds like Dr. Seuss, Brandy.
Yeah. I hope that Mrs. Colonel has a hefty bank account when you get the shit suit out of you, but that's okay.
Skidmore, Missouri, Brandy.
Skidmore.
Skidmore.
Skidmore, Missouri.
Skidmark, Missouri.
Yeah.
It's a tiny town, Brandy, in the northwest corner of the state of Missouri.
It's a tiny town. It's like a dirt road.
You ever seen Terror in the Tiny Town where cowboys all midgets?
No.
Everyone's setting ponies. His
Who's
old movie.
Ever seen that?
I have. It was great.
Why?
They were all shedding ponies.
I've heard of it, which is the sad thing.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, Terror in Tiny Town. I've heard of it.
As of the 2010 census, 284 people lived in Skidmore, down from 342 the year prior.
Ugh.
10 years prior.
They're leaving Skidmore in droves.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
They're sliding right out of Skidmore.
This, 58, is that a lot? I don't know. When something of any significance happens in the town, though, Brandy, one imagines the whole town soon finds out about it.
Yeah, in about 10 minutes.
Which is what makes the unsolved murder of Ken McElroy both strange and in some ways expected, Brandy.
Okay.
On July the 10th, 1981. McElroy was murdered.
It's not McElroy.
McElroy was murdered in broad daylight, Brandy.
Son of a bitch.
Damn. While sitting in his truck next to his wife, Trina, in front of the Skidmore Pool Hall, Brandy.
Yeah. That was big enough to have a pool hall? Yeah.
Well, it's probably pool hall, bar, church. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Bingo hall.
He was shot twice by two different assailants, Brandy. That's based on the forensic reports.
Thank you.
Ooh. Okay, CSI.
Right.
CSI Skidmore. CSI Skidmore.
What are you about, Timmy? What about the Grinch Stole Columbus Day?
Just don't have the same
CSI Skidmore.
There were 3 or 4 dozen witnesses, Brandy. To date, no one has been charged with Ken's murder, let alone convicted. You have to be charged before you convict.
Right. Wasn't me.
Don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
Ken McElroy, to say the least, wasn't well liked, Brandy. And had a reputation, to say the least, was well deserved.
To say the least.
To say the least. I tried to say the least.
Yeah, I see that.
He was a functional, illiterate 5th grade dropout, Brandy.
How do you drop out in the 5th grade?
Well, I don't know. He was so excited when he got promoted to 5th grade, he cut his self-shaving. Well, I don't know. While always unemployed, he always seemed to have money, Brandy.
Yeah, sounds like my child.
At the time of his murder, he was, at the time of his murder, he was 47 years old. Okay?
No, got it.
He had a life, but he's, even though he was still somewhat young, he had a lifetime of indictments against him. Nice. Over the course of his lifetime, Colonel, he was accused of 12 felonies, including assault, child molestation, statutory rape, arson, hog and cattle rustling, Brandy.
He said it. How, first of all, it's 1981. It's not 1891. How the fuck are you cattle rustling in the 80s?
Well, hey.
You know, because people get lazy, they don't brand the cows anymore. So you just walk one down the road like, no, this one's mine.
Yeah, who's going to call you on it?
Yeah.
And he was also arrested for breaking and entering.
So he seemed to have no particular pattern about his crimes.
No, he just kind of did whatever he wanted to, basically.
Just, if there
his
was
lawyer
a crime
once
to be committed,
said he was the best client he ever had. He paid in cash.
Well, yeah.
He was never convicted. He always paid in cash.
He was never convicted of anything?
No, he finally got convicted at the end. But for the most part, yeah, he would intimidate his witnesses. We'll get into it. But he didn't intimidate his witnesses. In 1981, he was found guilty of shooting a 70-year-old shopkeeper over a piece of candy, Brandy. I wonder if it was Milky Ways.
Can you imagine
that? It was probably
a
butterscotch disc.
Can you imagine the Skidmore High School prom with like 12 people?
I'd shoot them.
SHS?
Yeah. Go Tigers.
They had one cheerleader.
Yeah. They had barely enough to make a basketball team. Yeah.
Four-man team.
Yeah.
The cheerleader had to play.
Actually, had to play one-on-one. On one.
Exactly. Now, this conviction, when he was convicted of shooting this shopkeeper, it was notable because the other 20 times that he was indicted, he was never convicted. So, as I said, he had a good lawyer. His lawyer was like a mobster lawyer.
Oh, well, there you go. How do you get a mobster lawyer in Skidmore?
Well, he was out of Kansas City. Because, they got a lot of mobsters there in Kansas City.
I don't know what a mobster is, but okay.
Some charges were dropped under strange circumstances, Brandy.
Huh. You know, and now in fairness to this man, just being charged with a crime does not mean you did it.
True.
Just saying.
The colonel knows.
He believes in due process.
I do believe in due process. I believe in the Third Amendment or whatever it is.
The
guilty amendments are good.
For 1 to 10 are usually the best.
Yeah.
The guilty verdict for shooting the shopkeeper, though, didn't stick because he was out on appeal. That's when he was killed. He was out on appeal pending a retrial.
So it actually did stick somewhat.
Well, it did, but he dies before it all gets resolved.
Yeah.
So technically, he was never convicted, I guess. Or he was
convicted.
He was not a felon. Because, you know, wasn't that what the way with Aaron Hernandez? Because he died before his appeals could run out.
Yeah.
So he was technically didn't die a felon, right?
And, yeah, and you get to keep your estate.
Yeah.
That happened to the one guy that died. I don't know. He robbed all kinds of people on Wall Street. Not Bernie Madoff, but somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Ponzi. Someone else, totally different.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's a fascinating story.
Yeah. Okay, what about this one, Timmy?
Okay, well.
What, the cat in the microwave.
That would be good, Carl.
Aw.
Others in town were not happy with what they saw was another miscarriage of justice, Brandy.
Hell yeah.
Ken was a repeat offender in their eyes, and one who had committed heinous acts, because, you know, he was like marrying 12-year-olds.
See, they didn't believe in that far. They did not believe in due process.
And they got tired of him getting away time after time and time with stuff. The people of Skidmore decided it was time to take justice in their own hands, Brandy.
Cool.
Let me tell you a little bit about this guy. Ken Rex McElroy.
That's a stupid name. Well, is it Kenneth or Ken?
It just says Ken, so I guess it's Ken. He was born on June the 1st, 1934. He just had a birthday.
Oh.
Happy birthday, Ken, wherever you are.
I'm also thinking about Timmy doing some inspirational self-help books.
Like what? Is this?
Colonel.
Detoxes for sissies.
That would be inspirational.
Well, I'm just going to tell people how to detox the proper way. You just lay in bed, you puke, you sweat, you might chat yourself, whatnot.
You are pro cold turkey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you're going to detox.
He's pro cold turkey, Brandy.
Perfect.
I mean, if you're going to quit so soon.
So basically, detox is for quitters.
Exactly.
Right. So Ken was number 15 of 16 children, Brandy.
Jesus Christ. There's not much to do in Skidmore, clearly.
Born to a poor migrant tenant farming couple named Tony and Mabel McElroy.
Well, wonder why they were poor.
It might have had something to do with the 16 kids.
Maybe.
Who moved between Kansas and the Ozarks before settling outside of Skidmore in the early 1930s, Brandy. Give me a little bit about his background. So you get an understanding of Ken. I want you to feel him, Brandy.
Give us some prose, Timmy. Give us some prose.
Thank you, Colonel. Because I know you like to write.
I like to write. I'm what do you think about this one, Timmy? One bitch, two bitch, dead bitch, blue bitch.
That's a ring to it, Brandy.
Let me tell you what I'm going to write. How to kill your coworkers and get away with it.
When he was still young, Brandy, an event took place that might have helped shape the person that he would eventually become.
Was he hit in the head with a clipboard? Because that seems to be a problem for people.
That was a problem.
It was. Mayhem ensues.
Yeah. I like that guy you did because he was a self-proclaimed drifter. I want to be a self-proclaimed drifter.
You are a drifter. You was stumbling all over. You was like
all
American Werewolf in London.
All
I
you
wanted
have to
do
tell
is
say you, it.
Stick to the moors.
It's self-proclaimed.
There you go.
Leanne didn't like the fact that I called all the Germans Fritz and all the French people Pierre.
See, doesn't seem like stereotyping if it's mostly true.
It had to be one Pierre over there anyway.
If more than 2% of the population is named Pierre, you get to name them all, call them all Pierre.
Thank you, Colonel. I knew I could count on you.
Yeah.
Ken was riding on a hay wagon, Brandy.
As we all have.
on his parents' farm when he fell off and hit his head.
Well, how the fuck you fall off a hay wagon?
I guess he lost his balance.
Yeah. He saw a cow he wanted to steal.
This
wanted to wrestle.
Yeah, wanted to wrestle.
This injury was so severe, Brandy, that a steel plate had to be surgically implanted in his head.
Oh, in the 40s. That sucked.
Yeah. Because they didn't even have stainless steel in the 40s. Yeah. He'd get all rusty up in there.
Oh, yeah.
They get rusty steel. Okay.
Nothing worse than a rusty plate in your
head. What about Remington steel? You think they put that in there?
Before Viagra, they had to give you men that surgically those implants, those pumps that guys have to do, and you have to, like, squeeze them to get it.
Like you're taking your blood pressure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
It's like the Nike gym shoes they came out with.
Yeah, just like them.
Jesus Christ.
I'd be afraid that mine would explode.
That's a fear for all of us.
You put too much pressure in there. That's why, you know what, that's why I stay away from, like, that Cialis, Viagra stuff.
Oh, yeah, because your penis, your head would explode. Oh, that'd be messy.
It looked like a hot dog that'd been in the microwave too long.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm glad you agree, Brandy.
God.
It's like sliced mushrooms.
So, all right, so he also, as a result of this injury, he also had back pain the rest of his life. He did the Percocets.
That'll happen.
Ken spent most of his time as a boy hunting and fishing, Colonel. He did not get along well with his siblings, and it has been reported that he once tried to burn the family house down while everyone was asleep inside.
Again, maybe they had it coming.
Well, here's the thing. But again, you know.
We don't really know that situation.
If you meet one asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
When everybody's the asshole. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe it's
maybe
you.
It's you.
Yeah.
At 12 years old, Ken explained that he went outside to pee when the house mysteriously caught on fire at 2 a.m.
Spontaneously combusted.
No one was hurt in the fire, but the family home was nearly destroyed.
There you
know,
go.
They got 16 kids living in there. Easy to blame it on someone else. He was not Ken was not a good student, Brandy. And at the time of his death, he was considered illiterate. Although for some reason I have liberate.
Of course you do.
And I think is incorrect. Although he did seem to possess street smarts, Brandy.
Oh.
In the third grade.
Since there's one street in Skidmore, that makes sense.
Yeah.
In the third grade, Ken began stalking his teacher, 31-year-old Mabel Crass. Ken would repeatedly break into her home and steal her underwear. Once he was found hiding in her bedroom closet, sniffing her bra and panties. Why would you sniff a bra, girl?
Poop sweat.
Okay.
Poop sweat.
Bra.
He has all the answers.
You've all been there, haven't you?
Yeah.
Poop sweat it is. The teacher filed charges against Ken, but later dropped them when she began receiving anonymous death threats. Someone threw a brick through her living room window. I know who that was, Brandy.
Good Lord.
Ken dropped out of school at age 15 in the eighth grade.
I thought he was a fifth grade.
Yeah, and he dropped out. He had a fifth grade IQ. He dropped out at age 15 in the eighth grade and quickly established...
15 in the eighth grade.
And quickly established a reputation as a raccoon hunter, cattle rustler, small-time thief, and womanizer, Brandy.
Oh.
That's 15, quite the combination.
At 15, it
at
is.
At 15.
Raccoon wrangler.
Colonel, have you ever hunted raccoons?
There's been a couple of times, Timmy. I've had to hunt raccoons. Now, one time...
No.
No.
Now, one time I didn't have to hunt one. I had to battle one.
What happened, Colonel?
Well, Timmy, I come home.
Fucking hate you, Tim.
I come home. It's a Friday night. I got company at my house,
okay.
Right?
He has company, Brandy.
I got company. And I walk up onto my porch, and there sits a big, not a small, but a rather large raccoon.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, well, that's peculiar because I didn't invite no raccoons over.
You know no raccoons personally.
Exactly. But he was standing between me and the door.
Okay.
So as, you know, I have good manners.
Right.
And I say, excuse me, Mr. Raccoon, could I please get by you?
Mm-hmm.
And could you vacate my porch, please?
Right.
And he got up on his little tiny back legs, and you they got those little hands,
uh-huh.
And he kind of did one of those and showed me his teeth.
Oh, so he was getting an attitude.
Quite the attitude. So mm-hmm. I said, look here, Mr. Raccoon. Now, I got to get in the house,
mm-hmm.
And you're kind of being a dick. You ain't paying no rent on this house.
Mm-hmm. So you don't get to be... rip my own arm off and beat myself with it than listen to this fucking story.
And he wasn't invited.
He was uninvited, which, you know, I don't mind an uninvited guest coming over to my house. But don't then growl at me and show your little raccoon teeth.
Right.
So, turns out he was the daddy of a larger family of raccoons.
Okay. So he was just the tip of the iceberg, Brandy.
Tip of the raccoon iceberg. So I said, look here, Mr. Raccoon, I'm going to give you one more chance because I'm a forgiving man. I'm going to let that
you're
person
a fair
go.
You're a fair man.
Right. I'm going to give you one more chance. Now, please step aside and let me into my castle.
Your abode.
Into my domain.
Mm.
And as I started to head to him, he took a step toward me with his little teeth showing.
So he was getting aggressive towards
you. Oh, he made the first move to me. He made the first move. So I said, look here, Mr. Rackham, I'm going to be back here in about 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I come up here, there's going to be a problem if you're still on my porch.
Okay. Fair warning, Brandy.
And he got those little hands. And I'm fairly certain that he turned his little raccoon paw around, you know, they got the hands, and gave me the raccoon finger to me.
Nothing worse than getting a bird from the raccoon, Brandy.
Yeah. So I...
fucking idiots.
I went down into my garage, and I got a baseball bat.
Okay.
And I came up and I disposed of the raccoon. And then my family yelled at me.
Why?
That's a fucking amazing story. Jesus Christ.
People love these heartwarming stories.
It's because.
We've already heard this.
Here's the thing to me.
Story.
And as I said, you know, we have walls in this. We have porches today.
Yeah.
We have locks on the doors. There are people like me. See, You want me on that porch, Timmy.
We need
they
you
want
on that
me on that porch. They need me on that porch. Yeah. And they asked me what I did with the raccoon. And I said, you can't handle the truth.
Very good, Colonel.
Because you know what?
What?
Because everything's all fine and good, and they're all cute until I got to have my dog put to sleep because a goddamn raccoon bit him.
Right.
Now, I'm not risking Rutabaga the Wonder Dog. He can bite a kid. They can take the rabies shots. But to put a dog down.
Right.
So.
So you protected your family. You did what you thought was you used.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
The force that you thought was necessary to protect your family.
I did. Then I hunted down his whole family and killed them, too.
You think about that, Brandy?
I think you two are fucking numbnuts. Can we get on with this?
Okay.
No, raccoons are assholes.
All right.
I don't care what anybody says. But no, this sounds like a cruel story, Timmy.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, when a raccoon starts to become territorial your property,
they're
dangerous.
They are.
And they look cute. They look everything else. But once a raccoon starts to try to back you off your porch, he thinks he owns that porch.
Mm-hmm.
And I had smaller children at the time. I could not risk my children being bit by a raccoon.
So you took care of business.
Now, people are going to complain. But
you're
if any of
like
you
the,
listeners show
kind
of
like the citizens of Skidmore here.
If any of the listeners show up on my porch and growl and bark and show your little teeth at me, I'm probably going to dispose of you, too.
Even Colonel's bad girls?
Well, not them.
Okay. All right. So Ken, he dropped out of school, had his reputation now being a raccoon hunter and all that. He would steal a local herd of cattle and hogs and sell them across state lines, Brandy. It got so bad that the local ranchers formed a posse. This is 1981,
they formed a posse?
They formed a posse to bring McElroy to justice, but they were never able to catch him red-handed. For more than two decades, Ken was suspected of being involved in the theft of, listen to this, grain, gasoline, alcohol, antiques, and livestock. He avoided conviction when charges were brought against him 21 different times, often after witnesses refused to testify because he allegedly intimidated them by frequently following his targets or parking outside their home and watching them for hours. That's kind of creepy. He was Kim was represented by a defense attorney named Richard Jean McFadden. Ken bragged that his lawyer represented mobsters in Kansas City and could get him out of any type of trouble. Ken became known as the town bully and often threatened those who got in his way. It sounds like his family, like his kids and stuff, were always full of drama too. So the kids get into a little
assholes.
Yeah, they get into a little argument or whatever. Then they bring daddy. Daddy gets involved in it, creates a big mess. Most of the people of Skidmore simply tried to avoid Ken. When they would get in his way, he would threaten violence and use actual force to intimidate him. When charges were filed, Ken would intimidate his victims by threatening them, as I said again, parking out in front of their house for hours, and eventually the victims would drop the charges. As he got older, Ken became quite the ladies' man, Brandy.
Ladies' man.
He fathered more than 10 children with 6 different women, Brandy.
Ladies' man.
Ladies' man.
Ken was married 5 times to 4 different women, with each wife being substantially younger than himself, Brandy. So you will tell us what happens next in the love life.
So I'm
Ken
I'm getting ready to start chapter 3 here, Timmy.
Okay.
And does this sound like it's too clunky? Daddy slaps mommy and calls her bad names, and she says more, more, more.
Yeah, I would try to condense that title a little bit if I were you, Colonel, but I like where you're going with it.
Daddy slaps mommy, calls her bad name. She says more, more, more. I am confused.
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
Well, because normally a kid sees daddy slapping mommy, he thinks it's a bad thing. Sometimes mommy like it.
Mommy does sometimes like it, Brandy.
Both of you shut up. So Ken met his last wife, Trina McLeod, when she was 12 and in the 8th grade.
Wonder where he goes to meet 12-year-olds.
The elementary school.
He was
still Skidmore Elementary.
Yeah, he was still Browning in fifth grade at this time. So
let's see. She was in the 8th grade.
Okay.
Ken was 38 years old at the time.
Well, there was a little age gap there.
Trina became pregnant by Ken when she was 14. She dropped out of school in the 9th grade and went to live with McElroy and his third wife, Alice.
Okay, so he's married at the time that he impregnates Trina.
Well, her and Alice probably went to school together.
Oh, you know what? I got a prequel. What do you call a prequel to a prequel?
It's called a prequel. Quit saying prequel.
Nah, okay. Welcome to my world.
Because before Horton chokes a hoe, I think I'm going to do, because he starts
small. What's a prequel?
Horton rolls a drunk.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good one. Catch
so it. Trina, you know, who's now pregnant, moves in with Alice. They probably were best friends or something because they had a lot in common. Let's see. McElroy divorces Alice and then marries Trina in order to escape charges of statutory rape, to which she was the only witness.
Why do you? What's the need actually for a training bra, Colonel?
I don't know. It seems like they grow on now.
Do they have like little wheels on them? I don't know.
16 days after Trina gave birth, both she and Alice fled to Trina's mother and stepfather's house.
All right, so they're both hitting the road, leaving him alone.
I'm out of here.
According to court records, McElroy tracked them down and brought them back, holding each roughly by their hair.
Now, some women like that, Colonel.
They do, but they don't
These
sound
are
like...
girls, so that wouldn't be appropriate, but some women like to be grabbed by the hair.
They do.
Ken then...
Far too many on our page.
Wait a minute. Here, wait a minute. Ken then returns to Trina's parents' home when they were away, shot the dog, and burned down the house.
Well, down the house.
There's a protocol you have to follow when your 12-year-old wife runs away.
Yeah.
McElroy was indicted in June of 1973 for arson, assault, and statutory rape.
He didn't get charged for shooting a dog?
He was arrested, booked, arraigned, and released on $2,500 bail.
Seems like the worst thing that happened there.
Meanwhile, Trina and her baby are placed in foster care at a home in Maryville, Missouri.
Must have been a plea bargain. Got off of shooting a dog.
It wasn't that big a deal back then. But old girl has to go into foster care because she's, you know, a child. McElroy was able to track them down and sat outside the foster home for hours at a time, staring, and told the foster family that he would trade girl for girl to get his child back, since he knew where the foster family's biological daughter went to school.
So he was
and what bus route she rode.
Threatening them.
So additional charges were filed against McElroy. On July 27th, 1976, Skidmore farmer Romaine Henry.
Romaine! My man Romaine.
Claimed, you know, his name backwards is okay too. Henry Romaine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would work.
Claimed that Ken McElroy shot him twice with a shotgun after Henry challenged him for shooting weapons on Henry's property.
Well, yeah, you probably, if you're going to do that, you should arm yourself before you approach the man.
Shot him. Well, first of all, Romaine's a bad motherfucker getting shot by a shotgun and then
twice.
Being able to, like, yeah.
And then calling the police. Like, right. This shit ain't cool.
Right.
And that's before cell phones, too. So, you know, he had to crawl to the landline.
He had to walk back. Yeah. And then do the little thing.
Sarah?
Crank the phone.
Yeah. Let's see. McElroy was charged with assault with intent to kill. But McElroy denied he was even at the scene.
It wasn't me. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
Because there's only so many people there.
What do you think about the flesh-eating Lorax?
I like it. A horror book to me. I like that.
A scary book, The Flesh-Eating Lorax.
As the case dragged on without a court date,
she's ignoring you.
Henry said McElroy parked outside his home at least 100 times in an effort to intimidate him.
Well, maybe that's just where he parked. Maybe it was convenient.
Yeah, it was a small town.
At the trial, two raccoon hunters.
Have to be somewhere.
Yeah, you can see every place from everywhere.
Hold on.
Okay.
At the trial, two raccoon hunters testified that they were with McElroy the day of the shooting, away from Henry's property.
Now, where do you go?
You know, you can't trust a raccoon hunter. I would not give any credibility to
why all of a sudden are we giving all this credibility to raccoon hunters?
First of all, how many goddamn raccoons they got up there?
Well, right, that you need professional hunters.
Well, you know, that was his, those are people he ran with, you know, the other raccoon
It's not even
hunters.
Like Billy the Exterminator. He'll get rid of all kinds of shit.
Well, the thing is, those raccoon hunters stick together.
They do.
Yeah.
They're like a mob.
They're just like an organized crime.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Henry was forced to admit in court under questioning by McElroy's attorney, Richard Gene McFadden.
McFadden's badass. I like to have him.
That he had concealed his own petty criminal conviction from more than 30 years previous. Once again, McElroy was acquitted. So hold on. So 30 years ago, this poor guy commits a petty crime and doesn't really tell anybody about it.
Yeah.
But this motherfucker shoots him.
Well, he lost credibility. Oh. Well, you got to weigh the evidence. You got to weigh him.
Against raccoon hunters.
Against raccoon hunters. Yeah,
well.
Always default to the raccoon hunters, Colonel.
Well, when in doubt.
When in doubt.
Ken and his family continued to get in skirmishes with their neighbors over the years. Every time Ken felt that he or one of his children had been slighted, it usually resulted with Ken either using or threatening force against the person who committed the perceived slight.
Yeah, he's a problem solver.
Yeah.
Police went to the...
That's usually effective.
Police usually went to the McElroy's residence... Okay, hold on. Police went to the McElroy's residence at least 138 times over a 5-year period. Is that low?
Is that a problem?
I don't understand. There is some evidence that the local police were intimidated by him.
Okay. So they were afraid of Kent. He was a big guy. I've seen pictures of him. He's a big guy.
Now, I'm going to get into some erotica maybe, too.
Okay,
like the Grinch fucks a who.
A who?
Ken pretty much did what he wanted.
Not Cindy Lou. She's a sweet who.
Right.
Ken pretty much did what he wanted.
But
and people
her mom
of Skidmore.
Is MILF.
Oh, yeah, she was.
MILF. Yes, Brandon.
She's a WILF.
Yeah.
A who.
Who.
Want to. Who. Mm-hmm.
And the people of Skidmore did their best to avoid him. The beginning of Ken's end began when a grocery store clerk, Emily Sumney, accused one of McElroy's daughters of shoplifting. Son of a bitch.
I think his daughter was like 6 years old.
Bad idea.
She probably did.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know she did.
The 70-year-old shopkeeper, Ernest Bo Bowenkamp, was married to Lois Bowenkamp, who tried to smooth things over by admitting that the whole event was a simple misunderstanding.
Okay, so she's like, look, let's cut our losses. I'm not worried about the Milky Way.
And McElroy didn't accept it and began to wreak terror upon the couple.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he wanted to let things go very easily.
No,
he doesn't.
He doesn't seem like a forgive and forget.
Hold on.
Anyone else like that?
Hold on, this gets really good, though.
Okay.
Hold on. Of course, you know this, but... So he offers Lois money to fight his wife, Teresa.
Trina.
Yeah. Trina. So he's offering this old lady money to fight
his 12-year-old girlfriend.
His 15-year-old wife.
Bum fights.
Yeah.
All right. That's a fair offer.
Ho fights.
Wonder how much he offered.
I don't know, but when she refused, he suggested he might have to force her to fight the teenager by shotgun.
Okay. He offered her money first.
Carl. Yeah, that's fair.
At one point during his harassment of the elderly couple, Ken forced them into his pickup truck outside their shop and frightened them by occasionally firing his weapon into the air.
Okay, so he's terrorizing these old people.
Yeah. Right. In the following days, Lois was so traumatized that neighbors took turns allowing her to sleep in their homes. About a week after this confrontation, Kim was back again to confront Bo Bowenkamp. Oh, Jesus. Mr. Bowenkamp was working at the loading dock behind his store when Ken showed up with a loaded pistol. Bowenkamp told Ken that he was on private property. If he didn't leave immediately, he would call the police and have him charged with trespassing. There were two young boys standing nearby, and Ken gave them each $5 to leave the area. That was a way to eliminate any witnesses, and after the boys left, Ken shot Bowenkamp twice in the neck.
Okay.
Miraculously, he survived this assault, and Kim McElroy was arrested and charged with attempted murder.
But he sucks at killing people.
He's not very good at it for a
boy. To the relief of the town, Kim McElroy was convicted. This town, however, hold on. I'm going to have to. Okay, to the relief of the town, Kim McElroy was convicted this time.
Mm-hmm.
The word's time, not town. However, the judge let him remain free pending an appeal.
Oh, no, not bad idea.
After being released at a post-trial hearing, I wonder if his wife had to go back into foster care.
I don't know. It's a good question.
After being released at a post-trial hearing, McElroy went to the D&G Tavern, a local bar, with an M1 grenade.
What did he have?
An M1, is it?
Garand.
Garand rifle.
It's a precursor. It's what they used in World War II. Soldiers did.
And made
it's a 30-06 rifle.
Okay. And made graphic threats about what he would do to Mr. Bowenkamp. The citizens of Skidmore had had enough.
They had enough, Colonel.
Several patrons.
They want Colonel Justice now.
Mm-hmm.
Deciding to see what they could legally do to prevent McElroy from harming anyone else. Nodaway County Sheriff Dan Estes suggested they form a neighborhood watch, which is like a posse.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, okay, you got a neighborhood watch, but how does that really take care of the problem?
McElroy appeal hearing was again delayed. On the morning of July 10th, 1981, townspeople met at the Legion Hall in the center of town with Sheriff Estes to discuss how to protect themselves. You know it's a problem when you got the entire fucking town
getting together at the Legion Hall.
Yeah. During the meeting, McElroy arrived at the D&G Tavern.
You know McElroy's thing. I think they're in there talking about me.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Fuckers. So he goes to the bar with Trina, who is, you know, clearly not allowed in. And as he sat drinking at the bar, word got back to the men at the Legion Hall that he was in town.
Mm.
I'm sure it only took
12 seconds.
30 seconds, yeah. Sheriff Estes instructed the assembled group not to get into a direct confrontation with McElroy, but instead seriously consider forming a neighborhood watch program.
He's big on that watch program.
Yeah.
Estes then drove out of town in his police cruiser.
He's getting out of Dodge.
Well, fuck yeah. So he leaves town. Form a neighborhood watch. Peace and love, peace and love. Form a neighborhood watch. I'm gonna go now.
Yeah, it's something like he learned that like at a
like block watch
at a conference or something.
Oh yeah,
the citizens on patrol. Yeah, they had no pickups.
Like a police. Now conference. To me, yes. What happened next?
The town of Skidmore decided to rise up against this dastardly
now,
man.
Now instead of a meeting,
rising up, Brandy.
Yeah, but now instead of a meeting, now it's a posse.
Yeah,
well, at this
now.
Point, the citizens of Skidmore decided to go to the tavern en masse.
En masse, Brandon. I mean, they're all together.
That means they're all in one big group, devil. En masse.
It sounds like something from High Noon.
Did they
have
torches and pitchforks?
They did. The bar soon filled completely. Now, McElroy sat there having his drink.
Mm-hmm. Like, just having a beer.
Nothing going on. Then he purchased a six-pack of beer, which he paid for.
To go.
Strangely.
Sure.
And left the bar and entered his pickup truck.
Okay.
And somebody shot him while he was sitting in his truck.
That's the damnedest thing, Brandy.
He was shot several times.
There was no due process there.
Once by a centerfire rifle and once by a .22 rimfire rifle. They're different types.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Oops. I was just cleaning it.
There were a few potential witnesses to this.
Well, Trina.
Well, a total of 40.
Because now she's got to go back into foster care.
A total of 46 witnesses.
Okay. What did they exclaim?
Including Trina.
Mm-hmm. Trina was in the car.
Now, McElroy, he was laying there, wounded and bleeding. And after he took his last breath, 90 minutes later, somebody called an ambulance.
There you go. Why did? Well, no, make him suffer. I agree.
Well, you know that. To be fair, it's a small town. So if you call them too soon, they're going to get there quickly.
Yeah. Oh, they are. Well, yeah, so, it's a small town. How did they not hear the gunshots?
I pictured like two guys running out with a stretcher down the street.
Yeah. But I mean, how did they not? How did the cops not hear the gunshots?
Well, the cop left town.
Yeah, the cop was already
gone.
Was he
the only cop? Like,
yeah, he was the only cop. Yeah. He left town.
Oh, okay.
Now Trina identified a gunman, but every other witness said, oh, I don't know what happened.
What the fuck really is she doing?
She was in the truck. She jumped her ass out of the truck
understand.
And started running.
Snitches.
Oh, yeah.
Get britches.
No, she did. She tried to snitch, but they wouldn't believe her. Mm-hmm. Now, the DA said, I'm not going to press
good
charges.
Good thing there weren't any raccoon wranglers
but
in
then,
there.
But then there was an extensive
yeah,
federal
raccoon
charge.
Yeah, raccoon would have stepped forward, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. Those
oh, they would have put them down,
guys.
Too, though. Now, they had a federal investigation that did not lead to any charges. McElroy was buried at Memorial Park in St. Joseph, and only a few members attended his funeral. One actually whipped out his jumbo and took a whiz right on his grave there.
That's kind
said,
of
here,
sad.
Take this to hell with you. Now, Trina filed a $6 million wrongful death lawsuit against the town of Skimble.
Moolah, Brandy.
Saying that the sheriff, Danny Estes, and Steve Peters, the mayor, and Del Clement, whom Trina accused of being a shooter,
if she gets
never
that, if she gets a settlement, she can go to the New Kids concert.
Oh, well.
It was later settled out of court by all parties for the sum of $17,600.
I'll take that, though.
With no one admitting guilt.
$6 million. I'm going to see you for $6 million, but I'll take $1,750.
Yeah, Trina remarried, moved to Lebanon, Missouri, where she died of cancer on her 55th birthday.
How ironic.
To this day.
Why is that ironic?
No one has ever
died on her birthday.
Has ever been charged in the murder of Ken McElroy.
Your thoughts about that, Brandy? What are your thoughts on town bully Ken McElroy?
He got what was coming to him.
Are you shocked? Shocked that no witnesses stepped forward to testify?
I am not. I'm a little shocked at Trina.
Yeah.
Of course, she's just dumb.
Well, you know, Trina and the other wives
Alice.
Have said that he was a good guy.
Yeah.
They've testified to him. I mean, like, they've interviewed him later on and said he was nothing like he's being portrayed. But, you know, that's their...
Wait a minute. So let me get this straight. Right. So he goes and grabs Trina and Alice from Alice's parents' house.
By the hair.
Drags them out by their hair. Mm-hmm. Then goes back, shoots the dog, and burns down the house. Mm-hmm. And they're saying he's a good guy. That's
why
Stockholm syndrome.
I don't know why you got to shoot the dog.
To be a dick.
Yeah.
That's Stockholm syndrome.
Didn't you have an experience with Stockholm syndrome?
I did.
All right,
Timmy,
tell us about that, Colonel.
Let me tell you about my Stockholm syndrome story.
This one more story, and then we'll wrap up.
Now, I got one day, my son, I got two cats. All one's a predator. It's McGee's, about 20 pounds. Big son bitch.
Big cat.
Catches everything that walks. Mm-hmm. He's killed everything on two or four legs. And he comes walking through the door with a chipmunk in his mouth.
Okay. A chipmunk.
Like, put the chipmunk down. I didn't invite no damn chipmunk into my house.
Mm-hmm. You have a lot of animals that come to your
I'm
house.
Like the
it's like he's
goddamn
fucking
Wild
Kingdom.
Yeah. Who was the guy that did that?
Merlin Olsen.
Perkins.
Yeah.
Merlin Perkins.
Yes.
And he had Biff. Uh-huh. I was just telling that story on another podcast. I'm going to stand back here at the helicopter while Biff goes up and squeezes the tiger's balls.
He's usually in his studio like that.
Yeah, because he was 180 years old.
Now, Biff's going to go up and try to milk the male tiger.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get some tiger semen here. But anyway, so I'm like, okay, boys, we got a problem here. Because I thought the chipmunk was dead, but he was alive. McGee was just bringing him in to toy with him and torture him. So the chipmunk runs around the living room. So I'm like, okay, boys, we got three boys. I'm like, everybody, form an arc. We're going to close in on the chipmunk.
They had a plan, Brandy.
We did. But Tanner broke our line of defense.
What did he do?
He ran off. I don't know if I thought he was afraid of chipmunks. Mm. You know, my boys are not as brave as the colonel. Mm-hmm. But he comes back with a paper bag. Mm-hmm. And he drops the paper bag on the floor and he says, lift up the couch, Dad, because that's where the chipmunk was.
Right.
And I lifted it up, and some bitch ran right into the bag. I was like, how the fuck you know he was going to do that? And he's like, I just Googled how to catch a chipmunk. Because apparently they think the little paper bags are little caves, little cubbies.
Google comes in handy, Brandy.
Now, so Tanner takes the bag and opens the screen door, holds it open with his foot, stands in the front door, drops the chipmunk out onto the porch.
Why couldn't he have gone out?
Well,
further?
The chipmunk turns around and runs right back into the house. So we had to catch the chipmunk again. And I said, look here, Albert Einstein, could you take it out into the yard this time where he can't get back in? So he did. And we was rid of the chipmunk. Except the next morning, I came out. And right on my porch, right as I walk out on my porch, is a chipmunk laying on his back with his little Fred Flintstone dead pose, you know, his little arms and legs and two little puncture marks right in his throat.
I feel like that was a warning to you from your cat.
Well, when he came back, Taylor said, my son, he said, I believe the chipmunk got Stockholm Syndrome.
That he had to, he
just had to come back.
He had to come back, Brandy.
And then, well, since we let him free, McGee decided, you know what? I got to have justice for this chipmunk. Went out, killed him, brought him up to the porch.
I feel like it's a warning
for
you.
That was like giving us a finger, yeah.
Brandy, do you have any final
thoughts? No, I don't. I don't have any final thoughts.
Okay, Colonel, we would like to thank all of those who support us on Patreon.
Hold on. Timmy, I'm just right. Let me finish this sentence because I'm finishing up a chapter here. Timmy says, Mommy says you cannot buy Percocet with food stamps. Okay, there we go.
That sounds like that's an intriguing book there, Brandy.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, chapter 5, the landlord is evicting.
Isn't it past your lunchtime, Tim?
It is.
Chapter 5, the landlord is evicting me and Mommy. So,
Colonel, we would like to thank all of those who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, please go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Just a tip, Timmy. Just a wee little bit.
All right, Colonel, give us some shout-outs.
This is not a complete list.
This is not a complete list. We're sorry. We have to update it, but thank you all. We love you all who donate.
James Seabright, Tommy Lane, thank you for my gift of goodies, Tommy.
Yes, Tommy, thank you very, very much.
Jason Dykes, hope your finger heals up. Terry Stafford, the all-wise and all-knowing and kind of bossy Shelly Garrett, Timmy.
Your other co-host of Rants and Reason.
Mm-hmm. Brandy McBride, Jennifer Svoda, Maggie Glover, who just canceled her Hulu account, went through the same horror that I did. Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Maja, we hope you're doing well. You know we love you, Maja. Tyrone, Amber Scoville, Marsha Boris, Stacey Alsop, Jody Wells. Jody does the best selfie threads. I think she starts the best
ones. Yeah, she does.
Amber Anderson, the lovely Ben and Roseanne from They Walk Among Us, Lorna Violet.
They're in Morocco now.
Morocco, wearing a Reds hat.
Yes.
Mike Dale, Kelly Charette, Karen Widener, Callie. I'll tell you what, man, I'm in these challenges with these people.
Fitbit challenge?
Yeah, Callie, man, she is unbelievable.
Okay.
Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Pleasing Terrors Podcast, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, The Now America Podcast, Catherine Cockroach Richardson, Fiona Crisp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Aaron, Kimberly Cameron, Elise, History Goes Bump, Annette Petray, Lise, Jahara, Alicia and Chip, Marika Smith, Jeff and Dom, our favorite medical people. Mm-hmm. They do Backroads to History and Poems by Jeff. Karen Barnes, she's not banned from Facebook anymore.
She was in Facebook jail.
She was. Rachel Flynn, Shirley, you know we hope you're doing well. We love you, Shirley. Shirley Strapp, Ty Long, Lydia Fisher, Phyllis Munson, Melissa Montoya, Cindy Liu, Kirsten Malachinsky, Michaela Wallstrom, Aaron Fowler, Leanne Flanagan, Mike Sadler, Nicholas M. Ryan, Heather Poole, Adam McWalters, The Vantage Podcast, of course, Canadian True Crime with Christy Lee, and Insight with Charlie and Allie, Joe Clifford, Mistress Veda, Ron Monasterio, Tracy Smith, Jess, John V, Nene, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Kristen Hauer, Cheryl Weldon, Andrew Scammell, Beth Wallen, Clark and Diane Trowbridge, who hopefully we're going to see here in October, Michelle Johns, who we love greatly, who may be my next wife, Timmy.
Okay.
Aaron Turner, Margaret McDonald, Ryan Nicholas, Cheryl Weldon.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Christine Hauer, Rudy, the world's most dangerous canine.
Rudy, the wonder dog.
The wonder dog. Of course, our great, great friend who I just got a postcard, and I got to figure out how to send a letter to England. I got one written
for
her.
Put a stamp on it?
Lady Beverly. Yeah.
It's crazy enough, it might work.
And the woman we do this show for week after week after week after week. And Dottie, there was some violence in here and dogs got shot. I'm sorry about that, but we hope you like the show. Dottie Scott.
Mom, anyone else? Did you get everyone?
Got everyone.
Okay, we don't have the updated list. We're sorry about that, but we will have it next time. We promise.
We will.
Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.